I would like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke. We'll begin reading in the 16th chapter with verse 1 in just a moment. Luke chapter 16 and verse 1. There is a moment ahead of all of us, just a single moment ahead of all of us, every one of us. There's no one excluded. There's a definite moment ahead of every one of us that we will have perfect clarity about what we should have done with our lives. It's coming to all of us. And it is one moment after we take our last breath on this earth. Every one of us will have perfect clarity about life and what we should have done with the one life we have. What the Lord Jesus Christ is attempting to do for his disciples in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke is to bring that moment to their present life. And he uses this, of course, through the centuries to speak to his children who have begun to follow him, to cause them to think in the present about eternity. That's a very difficult thing to do, but to think in the present about eternity. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, and to beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto them, unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And he said to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the other, the one, and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, this is what we do here. I want you to mark an expression in the 16th chapter part of the second verse, where the Word of God says, give an account of thy stewardship. And just so we don't forget it, I want you to come to verse 10. And I want you to notice the present in the word he that is, the word is at this moment, is at this time, is. Also, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. I want you to mark he that is faithful in that which is least is at that moment, not later, not when you get to heaven, right then and there, in that moment you're living, when you are faithful in that which is least, at that moment you're also faithful in much. Now the Lord's going to teach us in this parable that the least is the mammon of this world, the riches of this world, the money of this world. Perhaps we could include the opportunity to have things in this world. That's the least. If you weigh time with eternity, things seen with things unseen, the Lord wants us by faith to see the things that are not seen. As a matter of fact, when we talk about vision, some people confuse things and think when you think big, you're thinking visionary, as a visionary for God. No, no. It's not big things that you see, not big buildings or big crowds. In the vision we have as spiritual people, it is a big God with whom all things are possible. But the point cannot be overemphasized that God has designed the Christian life so we can live it day by day, investing in eternity those same days we're living in the here and now. Many people miss that. Here we are, occupied with our days. The Bible says in the 90th Psalm, 80, if by reason of strength there be 80 years, yet there is strength, labor, and sorrow, for we're soon cut off and fly away. So it is our business to try to cram as much, as absolutely as much into life as we possibly can. But we must remind ourselves that the amount of things we do is not nearly so important as the quality of things we do. If there are things that connect with eternity, then those things outweigh much more than we could ever imagine the things that are only for time. There's a definite reason that God says, whosoever doeth the will of God abideth forever. There is a forever. But pulling our lives at present into the forever is a very difficult thing. The Lord is bearing down on us, saying to us, look, this is not all there is. We live like this is all there is. Even with everything, children, possessions, we live like this is all there is, all we have. We must make the most of moments, but making the most of those moments is making the most toward God with those moments. You can invest wisely in a child, and that child not only benefits from it for the period of life here on earth, they will invest wisely and share in the glory of the millennial reign of Christ and all eternity beyond that. But it is almost impossible to pull a Christian into that thinking. It's almost impossible. In other words, when it's done, it's done. When it's over, it's over. Last breath, that's it. Now, oh, we're gone. We make such a separation from time and eternity. And God is constantly working to help us pull the two things together, both together. And he says here in this story, this parable, this earthly thing he lays alongside heavenly truth to teach us something, that there was a moment when this steward was asked to give an account of his stewardship. Now, I'm going to be very frank with you. I'm not afraid to die. I've been there a number of times because I know God will give grace. I've had at least two occasions where I thought this is the end of it. This is the end of it. One was in a hospital room after a spine surgery, and I was in so much pain it was unbearable. They could not help me. They tried everything they could, and I had the incision. It burst open, and titanium rods had been put from top to bottom, and all that came open. They took a staple gun, tried to staple me back together, and then I had shingles developed in that same thing, and 3 days in the hospital turned into 13 days, and I said to my wife one evening, both of my children were there, and I said, look, I want you to know we've had a wonderful life, but I'm in such pain right now that it cannot be borne any longer. I'm not complaining, I'm not griping, but this is it. And my boys gathered around my bed with my wife, and they prayed, oh God, come and help us. Help us. Just help us now. And God gave me some relief, and I went off to sleep. But I was convinced that was the end of it. Another time, in another surgery, a complication that almost never takes place, wouldn't you know it. And a medical doctor said he'd been in practice over 40 years, only had 4 cases of this in his lifetime of surgery. And my blood pressure got to 50 over 40, and I passed out in the arms of my wife, and they said, he's gone. Now, they gave me a shot of something in the arm, and things began to jump and pop and pump again. But for all everything, we had a conversation right before that. It was over. So I was just about to enter into what we call eternity on those two occasions. And I could tell you lots of things I think now about how the Lord allowed that and why he allowed it. But it didn't happen. But the issue that I learned was that God does not separate our time from our eternity. He doesn't. All of our lifelong living, we separate our days in time from our days in eternity. But the Lord doesn't do that. He's teaching that in this parable. Notice he says, and he said also unto his disciples. He begins to tell the story. There's a rich man, a certain rich man, a specific rich man. We find him also in the 19th verse of the same chapter. A certain rich man, this certain rich man went to hell in the 19th verse. But he says there was a certain rich man who had everything. You find him also in the 12th chapter. The Lord is making this emphasis. And he says in chapter 12 and verse 16, if you want to write the reference down, and he spake a parable unto them saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. It's not that the Lord's against riches if they're used properly, but it tends to take the place of God. And that's never to happen. Never. So back in the 16th chapter, the Lord says, and the news got out that the man's steward, the person that was in charge of all of his wealth, was crooked. He was not handling things properly. He was dishonest. Keep that in mind. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. For thou mayest be no longer a steward. So the man's in a panic. He's going to lose his job. He's been mishandling all these funds of a certain rich man and having anything he wants, but he's misappropriating things and cheating the owner out of things that are rightly his. His business is to just handle the things. I'm sure he was paid well, but he was just to handle what was put in his hands, just as you and I don't own anything. It's a great lesson to ask God to teach you the difference between ownership and stewardship. Our work is about stewardship. God is the owner. We're the stewards. But you say, I've worked hard and got this, that, and the other. Wait a minute. You could have died as an infant. You could be in the poorest health or the poorest mind and never able to do anything. Why does something happen to some people and you think it couldn't happen to you? You might have spent all your wealth on your health. We just need to learn the difference between who owns everything and who's the steward. And we, honestly, all we are stewards. Even where you live, you may say, this is my house, and may enjoy saying that. You may have worked hard to pay for it, and you can say, I don't make any payments anymore. It's all paid for. Someone else will live it. If Jesus doesn't come soon, someone else will live in it. You're a steward of it and what you do with it. So he calls a man in, give an account of thy stewardship. And so the steward gets a plan. And here's plan is very simple. I'm going to find out who owes, and I'm going to cut their debt so they'll be indebted to me. And so Jesus in his parable gives us some examples. Notice, I resolve what to do, verse 4, that when I am put out of the stewardship. He says, I know I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to be out in the street. I'm not going to have a roof over my head. I'm going to have nothing now to call my own. And I got to make some plans. So I'm going to give people such a deal that they may receive me into their houses. He's got a plan. So he called every one of his lord's debtors and said unto them, the first one he starts, how much owest thou to my Lord? I'm standing between you and my Lord. How much do you owe him? And the person in debt said, 100 measures of oil. That's the legitimate, accurate debt that I owe. And so the steward said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. In other words, just pay me half of it. And remember, I let you off. I'm the one responsible for cutting in half. He's got a plan. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. That's 80. I know you owe the 100. Between you and me, we both know you owe the 100. But just pay me 80. And the Bible says, and the Lord commended the unjust steward. That's not Jesus the Lord. That's the man who had certain rich man. That's not the Lord Jesus. Jesus is not commending him for his dishonesty. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. That's an amazing verse. They work harder at what they do than God's people work at what they do. They're more diligent with their worldly duties than they are with their heavenly duties. What will pass away, heaven and earth and everything in it, they give more attention to that than they do to the eternal and what will never pass away. And beloved, I love you. You chose me to be your pastor. And for more than 30 years, I have chosen to remain as your pastor, and we've loved one another. But every one of us is guilty of this. Every one of us. If we ever really get a thorough cleansing of sin in my life, your life, all our lives, we're going to have the mightiest revival we've ever seen. And it continues. It's getting pretty tough. And there, we see people work hard. I see people work 12, 14 hours a day. And I see people in the Lord's work who don't have any time for Jesus. And then he says, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Now I want you just to put your finger on that ninth verse. Will you do that? If you've got two hands, put your finger on that one. For me, it's my left finger, pointing finger. And then I want you to go to the 13th verse. At the end it says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Here, an interesting thing. God says, make friends of mammon. And in verse 13, God says, you cannot serve God and mammon. So what are you going to do with mammon? You can't serve it. You can use it. I could say to you that I've got $100. And I'm not to worship it, not to serve it, not to live just for it, or $1,000 or $1,000,000. But I can use it. I can make a friend of it. I can do something with it in time that affects eternity. I can actually use it rightly before God in such a way that God will honor it. I befriend it. Use it wisely. Your gift to a missionary, your gift for gospel tracts, your gift to go on a mission trip. And that mission effort or missionary may lead people to Christ, and that's amazing. You may purchase gospel tracts and somebody hand out those gospel tracts and lead somebody to Christ. Now, you don't worship the money. What are you doing with it? You say, well, if I had a lot of money, I'd serve God. Well, you know you wouldn't. You're lying to yourself like you've been lying to yourself a long, long time. You don't serve God because you have a lot of money, or you'd be serving God with little or no money. What are you doing with $10? What are you doing? If you said, I had $10,000, well, wait a minute. What are you doing with $10? May the Spirit of God deal with you and deal with me. I want to be as right with God as I can be. And I really believe you want the same thing. I just want nothing between me and God so God can bless me and use me and bless my family and bless my home and bless my leadership in this church. We're getting there quickly. Be patient. And so, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Now here's the clincher, the point that. See that little word, that, in verse 9? That, when you fail. And that means die. You want to write that? No, it means when you die, when it's over, when it is fairly finally over. They may receive you into everlasting habitations. What is that about? See, the man's plan was, I'm going to give you a break on what you owe so that when I get booted out and you hear I'm in the street, I'm going to call in my favors and say, look, you owe me. What Jesus says, he says, you use what God gives you wisely. And when you finally are out and fail and die, you're going to heaven and you're going to be received into heaven, into the habitation of glory, welcoming, having the welcome of all the friends that you've helped get there. You ever help anybody get to heaven? Do you want to help more people get to heaven? I think if I can reach more children in this county, I can help more people get to heaven. I think if I can get more people interested in the gospel in these Bible clubs and schools, I can get more people to heaven. I think if I can encourage these missionaries whether it's developing videography to open the eyes of the world, if I can help them, I can get more people into heaven. See, God keeps the dots tied together, connected. God alone can do that. I mean, somebody may give a gift somewhere and nobody even knows it or knows them, and the gift is used properly, honestly, before God, and someone hears the gospel message around the world and they get saved. Well, God keeps up with that dot and the dot who went and the dot of the person who gave. That's the Lord. He's a great bookkeeper. He doesn't make any mistakes. And that's what this is about. So, he says, he that is faithful, I mean, at the moment, is faithful. He said, one of these days I'm going to be, no. I'm going to be connected to God in eternity every moment. He that is faithful in that which is least, that's money, mammon, things of this world, they're going to all burn up someday. We all believe that, don't we? That's the least. While he's being faithful in that which is least, he is also faithful in the much, in what God is trying to accomplish in the world. And if you can ever get your life connecting the least and the much, oh, what joy there is in that. You know why you've been blessed. You know why God's given you authority or influence. You know why God's given you anything you can give away. You know why God's given you certain things in your personality and leadership. You know why? Because God's given you things in time to connect with eternity. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust, God forbid, in the least, in other words, you don't use it wisely, I've wasted so many things, opportunities. And you know, getting near God makes you more sensitive to your sin. How many of you know that's true? And so that's why some people run and hide. But getting near God makes you sensitive to your sin. And so, he that is unjust in the least, which is mammon, is unjust also in the much, which is the misuse of heavenly things. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And there are true riches. If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? He's continuing the parable. He's teaching his disciples this. Don't go out and squander your life, men. Say, you know more than God knows, and hoarding things for yourself, living for this world. So he says, no servant can serve two masters. It's impossible. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one. That's what he's living for. And despise the other. And to sum it all up, you're going to give your life to something, someone. You're going to do it. I'm going to do it. Sure you are. And self is the worst master. You cannot serve God and mammon. You say, if I could start over, we're going to give inevitably. We're going to have a meeting with God. Every man, the Word of God says, every man, it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Romans 14. Verses 12 and 13. It's inescapable, isn't it? Whoever you are, there is a day when you are going to meet God and you're going to explain or try to explain your life. What have you done with your whatever. And the revival that we need in missions is people individually saying to God, I recognize I'm accountable to God. And instead of impressing everybody here with what I have and what I've done for them, it's so much more gratifying and glorious to God that when I die, people I've influenced to try to win to the Lord are going to welcome me in to heaven. Won't that be joyous? Let's bow in prayer with us.